You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids,
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilp.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
Yeah, so every time I listen to that intro, I'm like, is the first appearance of Gwenpool, do people care still?
I'm not sure. We should check it out, but I think we need to change the intro altogether.
Do you want me to make some more false promises about changing the intro? I seem to do it about once every 6 months.
Yeah. Maybe we should look into that.
I'll change it, I swear.
The whole thing, from start to finish. Anyways, Hey Kids Comics, but, Friday night, comic books. We should talk about comic books.
We can't talk about comic books.
Okay. What are we going to talk about then?
I don't know.
Again?
Well, Dan was awfully quiet last Friday, but he you were a little quiet.
I was not.
He was talking like
holy cow. Okay, Friday, I was the most talkative I've ever been.
Let me rephrase that. Last Friday, Dan wanted to talk about something.
And he didn't.
And he
should.
He should have interrupted finished what we were saying and talked about it. So let's start with that so we don't do that again.
Well, let's start with...
How's that? Is that better worded?
Sure, yes, that sounds good. Because, I was actually, last week, I was quite proud of myself for actually talking a lot on the show.
I described that incorrectly. Sorry.
So I have a comic project that's coming out in True Patriot, issue number 9, which should be hitting the digital stores July 4th-ish, give or take.
Yeah, so that's from Chapter House on Comixology.
Chapter House on Comixology for $1.99. And I have a story in there in the True Patriot anthology that's called The Canadian Sentinel.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which is a Canadian superhero with Justin Schaff doing the art and Donovan Yashik doing the amazing colors and letters. And Marty, you've described Donovan as a color artist.
Oh my God, he's good.
And he is amazing.
He's good. He literally an artist. You see somebody, not to diss too many other colorists, because we know other colorists that are just as good and really nice, but when Donovan does a page, he puts a lot of thought into it. It just amplifies how much the colorist is part of the creative process when you see his work.
Yeah, and because sometimes when you see a line work and then you see the finished thing, you can really see the difference that the colorist makes, right?
And I love Justin's art.
Yeah.
Everything about it. He's done a ton of Aurora Man stuff. He's done some other projects that we've had. Every single little image of this this little comic story that you've shown me, it's fantastic. I think it looks awesome. It's going to be a great comic.
Should be fun. And, so my first dip into Chapter House publishing, which is cool. So we're going to have – we have stories in issue 9, 10, 11, and 12. Yeah. So we've got a 4-issue little mini story arc that we're running there, and
I just still think it would be cool if you managed to make an actual floppy, physical floppy, just like Jack Briglio did for his Dominion Jack.
Yeah,
how he kind of collected a few of those True Patriot stories.
Well, off the air, I can tell you some things that I've heard. There are plans for there to be some sort of collection of stuff, but. They're still
I'm not gonna be okay. I am. I'm in a mood, so I'm gonna be that guy. Chapter House, guys, what the heck? The True Patriot's been 8 issues so far. The first 2 were collected into hardcovers, but that was part of the Kickstarter. Where's the next collection? Where's the next assortment of books? Like,
well, I mean, the stories have kind of come and gone. Like, because you had the Arrow story from
like Volume 3 of True Patriot. Where's the physical copy?
Well, because like if you read Volume 2, part of Volume 2 was published in the first True Patriot Presents comic book.
Yeah.
Like they reprinted part of the stories that were, and
which bombed.
It did.
Which flopped. And I don't understand why, because it was a fun, awesome anthology. It should have done well. I don't know why more Canadian comic book readers didn't support that book. They should have. It was great. I liked it.
Yeah. I've been a fan since, I can't say since day one, but like as soon as I picked up the first issue of the first volume from Chapter House, I was in and I, been supporting it.
That True Patriot Kickstarter kind of almost fired off my resurgence in interest in Canadian comics.
Yeah.
Like, I supported that one when it first came out and actively looked for all the creators at all the fan expos and stuff and got them to sign and do a little doodle in the book. I have almost everybody in the book with a little signature or something. And it was great. I don't know why it didn't kick in a little bit better. Should have.
I don't know if it's too, like, well, I mean, I wish that we had some actual numbers and stuff that we could talk about. Because, like, we know even Captain Canuck as the flagship doesn't sell that well.
Yeah, I don't know about publishing numbers. We'd have to take a look at that. But I do know that it was told to me that pre-orders for that first physical copy of the floppy edition of True Patriot number 1 was so bad that it just didn't warrant ordering more, which is a shame.
Maybe it was the kind of thing that if they had put a little bit more effort into, like, let it go a few issues to see if it picks up.
Yeah.
Because not everything,
or maybe too many people thought it was just going to be a direct reprint of the Kickstarter hardcovers, and they're like, I already have this, so I'll wait for a bit for the next issue.
Yeah, like maybe they plan to pick it up at issue 4 or something and see if there was new stuff in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Should have done better. There's some great stories in there. If you're not reading it digitally, go now.
And it's only $2 for the issue, and I mean the newest one that came out, I think a week and a half ago, has 35 pages of comics, no commercials, no ads. Like, so
the Arrow story is great. The Dominion Jack story is great. Did I see correctly that Jay Torres put his family dynamic back in the book?
Yep. Jay's got that in there.
So that, I know he had that published by DC for a little bit, like a little mini series. Poorly marketed by DC, so it didn't do particularly well. But that's a fun little comic strip slash story.
And Scott Chandler and the Red Ensign.
Oh, the Red Ensign.
Oh my God.
God, that's such a cool character.
And I love like the look. Like the new one, the newest story is all in black and white shot. It's set up like you're watching a film.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And it's just the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen.
Your buddy Hugh Rockwood is doing the art on the second arc of Dominion Jack, if I recall correctly.
Yep, that's correct.
So nice. That's fun. Yeah. It's a good book. Just go buy it. Like, I don't understand.
It's just the digital. Go. Right? People have
Comixology.
People have a problem with digital.
Book 99. Buy it. And then Chapter House. Let's get these collected editions in. I was looking at my I was cleaning out some folders and stuff like this, and I recently no need to get into it, but I changed some of my purchasing habits on Amazon and stuff like this, and looked at some of the stuff that I had canceled. There's like 7 Chapter House trade paperbacks, 6 or 7 Chapter House trade paperbacks that I had pre-ordered that I didn't have to cancel because they were conveniently canceled for me because Chapter House, what are you doing? Like, I love you guys, but come on. Put some books out. Andrew Thomas, our friend, is doing his best to promote the brand, and he's showing us all these new solicitations and stuff like this. He's like, oh, look at the cover to Captain Canuck Season 4, Issue 2. It's fantastic. Where the hell is Captain Canuck Season 3? Like, thank you for showing me the new stuff. It's cool. Thank you. Thank you. That's great. Can we get the other stuff out first? Can we, you know.
So they never released it?
Nothing's been released yet.
Oh, boy.
So we had that, what was it, February? February 28th?
But even, and what that was pushed back because it was supposed to be before Christmas. Yeah. And it was supposed to be like.
There was like 9 or 8 titles, like issues released in one Wednesday. Here you go. And it's been like nothing since except some Pitiful Human Lizards. I think Phil's the only book that comes out on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure that's got a lot to do with Justin Liu being a machine, an almost one-man show and pumping out that book. And he's got, who's helping him with that book? Is it Allison O'Toole?
Yeah, I think she's helping
with the book. Who else?
And isn't Fred Kennedy writing some PHL stories?
Yeah, they're doing a little bit of a crossover type thingy, and Fred's doing a few stories. And I can't even guess the issue numbers right now. I can't even guess, but yeah, Fred's doing some work there. But where's the rest of it? Where's the rest of it? I just want to read my Canadian comics. Can you guys like print them, please?
I just want the trades as well. Like, I will buy the single issues, but I like the trades to just sit down and read it.
Yeah.
Without having to get up and switch anything.
Well, I bought the Elf. Was it the season one of Captain Canuck? I think I have 4 copies of that, the 2 different volumes that came out. Issue, like, 2, The Gauntlet, was supposed to come out. It's not out. Where is it? What are you doing?
That was supposed to come out in early January, right? Yeah, and then that one got pushed back to... Was it pushed back to March? And then as March came, it just...
I don't know.
Pushed back again.
I don't know. Captain Canuck.
You're going to get me kicked off of True Patriot with all this complaining.
No, True Patriot comes out on a regular basis digitally. You guys are fine. Come on, guys. Like, get this stuff out. I want to read it. And if you're not going to get it out and you're not going to, like, publish it, then martin@bruta.ca is where you can send PDFs, and I'll read it that way.
He wants to read it.
I just want to read these awesome Canadian comics. Like, let's go. Come on. Let's get it out there. What are we? We're still waiting for. Did we get? Yeah, we got issue 2 of Captain Canuck's year 1. Or did we get issue 2?
I don't have issue 2.
No. See, so we got issue 1 multiple times, but we still don't have issue 2 of year 1. Like, what the heck?
Well, if they're having trouble actually printing physical copies, why don't they just stick to digital?
I have no idea.
Right. Say, okay, this didn't work. We're going digital.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because nobody buys digital.
I don't know.
Would
people only... See, the thing about digital is, in my opinion, when it comes to digital, people go, why pay for digital? I can steal it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm... You know, the whole piracy thing, that just drives me up the frickin' wall. Like, every time I see some... sorry, but Ars Munch... On Facebook going, you know, I have a digital collection of thousands and thousands of comics, and I have everything dating back. I have all the Fantastic Fours and all this stuff. I'm like, how much you pay for that? Pay for it. I'm like, well, you don't have a collection then. You have a nice pile of pirated trash garbage, you unsupportive of the industry jerkwad. And like I said, I'm in a mood. So.
Even if you paid for it, you still don't have a collection digitally.
No, like
that
I started
is not a collection.
I started with digital comics when they first came out, and what was it? Iverse was one. I'm trying to remember what the other one that was competing with Comixology started with a C. And I bought books with all of those services, and as each service went belly up, it's like, okay, well, thanks for your purchases, but bye-bye. And they just take it with you. Like, you're paying for a license to consume the material as long as that vendor is alive and working. Like, if Comixology gets bought out or something changes or whatever, and you lose that library. So unless you've been doing the PDF backups that they provide on a diligent basis, you could wake up one morning and go, oh, okay, so all that money I spent digitally, it's gone. It's gone. Like, you just paid to consume it. And that works great with something like Netflix. If I pay $34.95 for a Blu-ray disc. I want the disc. I want the director's commentary. I want the special effects. I want the gag reel. I want all the documentaries. I want it in four different formats, 4K and DVD and all this stuff. That's what I'm paying $24.95, $34.95 for a disc. If I'm paying $7 a month for Netflix, I'm okay with just consuming that material.
Yeah.
Right? But the comic books, it's $3.99 for a digital copy and it's $3.99 for a physical copy. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Like the Marvel Unlimited thing, that's a great service. It's unfortunate that, you know, they're 6 months behind and stuff. But still, you pay your $10 a month. You just digest as many comics as you want. You can read whatever you want whenever you can. Because it's a little bit behind, you could grab like the entire Vision series and read the whole Vision series at once because it's already done. You can go and you can read, you know, the Kree Skull War from Avengers because it's all there. So you can consume that way and you're paying a consumable price. But when you're paying a physical price for a digital item, that's dumb.
Yeah.
That's just insane. You know?
Just like with digitally buying books, ebooks, you know?
Yeah, but
a lot
still,
of ebooks, they're not significantly cheaper.
Even then, I mean, like the ebooks go on sale every now and again and stuff like this, and you can get cheaper versions than print copies. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the prices are pretty steep on some of that stuff. So I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
I know what to say. Go to your public library.
There you go.
There's an app called Hoopla. You can put that on your tablet. You can put that on your phone. And with your library card, you can rent trade paperbacks. So you're supporting your public library, you're supporting the town and the tax base, and you know, the library is buying this material from the publishers, so you're supporting the publishers, and it's the better way to go than to sit there on your torrent sites and download all sorts of crappy Russian spyware that sits on your computer, and then you bring it into my shop to fix it, and I laugh at you. I laugh at you wholeheartedly.
But
they accidentally delete their whole
library.
Oops, I can't say I've ever done that.
No.
I've never actually, you know, intentionally sabotaged the customer's files. But, yeah, as soon as I see the whole pirate thing, I'm just like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to go out of my way to save this material if your hard drive's on its way failing and stuff like this. I'll save your Word docs and your Excel spreadsheets and your family pictures and stuff before I worry about that crap. And
yeah.
If it dies, it dies. But, yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, it's not like I've never downloaded a comic myself. But, you know, it's always to, like, preview it, check it out, and then I end up buying it if it's a good book. I turn around and pay for it. I'm all for supporting creators.
Yeah. For me, it's like I was curious when Marvel did that backup story for Wolverine, Logan.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like one page, right? So people who didn't really care about the books could either walk into the store and read it or buy the whole book just for one page of story.
Yeah.
Like it didn't make, it was just a gimmick to get you to buy books that you don't usually collect.
Well,
it was like,
that's because people pirate books and the publishers are desperate to find stupid ways of getting people to buy comics. I don't know. It's dumb. It's just dumb. I'm not a fan.
No.
So yeah, don't boast to me that you're a pirate. It just, it's, you know, it's a little secret and everybody kind of does it here or there. Like, On a couple of occasions, there's a TV show that I missed or something like that, and I'll go and I'll steal it off the internet. But I'm paying, at the moment, for satellite TV, I pay for Netflix, I paid for Hulu, I still have an Amazon Prime account, you know, and I think with my phone and internet, I get Kojiko TV, even though it's not even hooked up. So I'm paying,
you're paying
my fair share.
Yeah.
So if I happen to accidentally not PVR an episode and I go and download it, I don't feel so bad.
Well, especially now when a lot of the networks have the episodes right on their site the next day.
Well, yeah, you can just fire up a website and look at it and you don't even have to pirate it. It's like legitimately on the studio website.
I just find it frustrating sometimes to look for it on the studio site.
Crave. I also have Crave with my Bell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Letterkenny, I've been watching that on Crave. I don't pirate that.
Yeah.
But It is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it does mean that I'm behind on Rick and Morty because only season two's come out on DVD, so I haven't seen season three.
Season three just came out.
What? What? All right.
But apparently, I don't know the details, but apparently there is a manufacturer's defect on all the DVD versions.
Ugh.
So, but if you're just going to buy it on Blu-ray, like all normal people should.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I bought the other two when they were on sale at Walmart. On DVD?
I wouldn't even buy a DVD on sale.
I think I did. I think it was like $8 for the season. I said, oh, I'll give this a try. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to use profanity for pirates because it's just, it doesn't work in terms of the longevity of the system. Like, if your creators aren't getting paid, they're going to stop creating. It's not like the music industry where most musicians now make money from touring. They don't make money from record sales, CD sales, and radio sales. They consider that a promotional advertisement for their tours. Concerts. And that's where they're making their money, their concerts. Comic book writers are not making a crud ton of money every comic convention. Right, Dan?
You mean I'm not going to get rich?
No, you're not going to get rich doing the convention circuit, you know? So it's just not the same. It's the comic book industry is so fragile in that, you know, 10,000 issues sells and an average guy goes, "Woohoo, I sold 10,000 copies of this comic book. Yay." You know, you're not making a ton of money, you know? If somebody pirates, let's say 40% of the population pirates the Avengers movie. The Avengers movie makes $1 billion worldwide. So they would have made $1.4 billion, right? Instead, they only made $1 billion. Wah. You know?
Yeah.
And not that I condone movie piracy either. I don't. But the comic book industry, you know, like, you can tank an entire series if too many people pirate the issue. Yep. It's just dumb. Don't pirate. Pirate's bad. Pirate's stupid. You're got short-term gain for long-term pain.
Yep.
Especially after them Russians get to your computer.
That's right.
Don't do all that spyware.
Don't do it. But anyways, what else have we got interesting? And you said you had a whole bunch of Kickstarters.
Well, I didn't. I had some stuff, but...
Because I got an opinion on Kickstarters, too. Uh-oh. I'm telling you, I'm in a mood.
Should we just turn our mics off and me and Chris will go grab a coffee?
No, go ahead. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lean back and I'm going to pound back this Red Bull so that I'm in less of a mood. You guys talk.
In less of a mood. I don't know. A Red Bull to me would be more of a mood. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess I had a couple Kickstarters. I was going to mention the Die Kitty Die Kickstarter, which is still going on. And... we'll be prepared to call 911 for Marty when that Red Bull hits.
Die Kitty Die Kickstarter.
High class.
Die Kitty Die Kickstarter. I've got an opinion on that, too.
Yeah. Well, we could skip to a different Kickstarter.
We know you have issues with is it
an understandable issue. Like, what happens is the Die Kitty Die in particular. I love Fernando Ruiz. I love Dan Parent. The book is awesome. It's a great book. Support it any way you can. I'm going to buy the hardcover when it comes out for number 3. Like, it's a fun book. It's a great book.
Please tell me you did actually get your first.
But what happens is you'll sign up for certain rewards, right? Like, this last time I signed up for the hardcover, the winter special, the summer special, and I don't know what else. Maybe some bookmarks or something. I can't recall exactly. So the book gets printed and published by whomever, Chapter House, I think, this time around. They physically get the copies. They send the copies simultaneously to Diamond and to Dan and Fernando for Kickstarter fulfillment. And then my copy sat somewhere, I'm assuming at Dan's house or at Fernando's house, until the summer special got printed. And until the winter special got printed.
Because they were waiting to send.
And they weren't waiting to save money on shipping. Like, it's understandable.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming anybody. It makes sense. They don't want to nickel and dime, you know, us for shipping each individual item. But my hardcover sat there until the other books were released. And then I got it all in one nice package, well packaged, everything, no complaints. But that was months and months and months after you could buy the hardcover in a comic shop.
Yeah.
Like months. I don't want to lie and say 6 months, seven, nine, five. It was a while.
Yeah.
So I, the early, you know, granted, I got an access to a PDF and all that stuff early, and I got to see the issues in PDFs and stuff. But I was just, like, looking at this going, why? You know? The guys literally probably don't need my support or my money to make the book successful. Every time they publish it and stuff, you know, Chapter House is it's one of the – it's like Pitiful Human Lizard. It's one of the books that sells all the time and sells well. So realistically, this time around, I was just like, nope. I'm going to save on the shipping. I'm going to save on the rewards. I'm just going to wait till the hardcover comes out inevitably, and I'm going to read it months and months earlier than I normally would have. You know?
Yeah.
Again, it's just the process. It's just the way it is. You know, I don't expect Dan and Fernando to change their shipping methods and, you know, ship one single comic book and then a few months later another comic book. And that kind of shipping just look, you know, it's expensive. It's prone to error and stuff. So I get it, but it's just not for me. It's just not for me.
See, this is kind of, I don't know. This is just a thought I kind of just had, that Die Kitty Die is a great book. I have a bunch of them. Why do Dan and Fernando need to do a Kickstarter to publish it when Chapter House is behind it?
Well, like, that's because of their arrangement with Chapter House. Like, it's one of those things where the self-published stuff, it just like Image. Image doesn't provide you with a heck of a lot of initial startup resources to publish your book. You pretty much have to, you know, they take care of the process.
Yeah.
But you got to come up with a little bit of money to get the ball rolling.
Because I look at somebody like, say, Jeff Burton, Aurora Mail. Like, he does his Kickstarter. He's sending us pics of him printing stuff. Like, this is all, you know, a one guy. I'm sure he had help, but you know what I mean. Like, there's a difference between.
Well, it again, you know, Dan and Fernando are just two guys. They've got regular jobs, and they're trying to make a living doing comic books as well. And I know Fernando, he teaches at one of the art schools and stuff like this. That's his full-time gig. Right. Like, they're not making a mint off of comic books.
No.
And Chapter House is Chapter House, right? Like, Chapter House isn't DC. It's not Warner Brothers. No. It's not Disney.
Right.
But then you turn around and you see, like, Dynamite doing this. Like, what was that Dynamite book that just got kickstarted? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, when big publishers start doing this, it's like, oh, come on, guys. Like, I understand startup capital and all that kind of stuff, but it just, you know, like, on the table here, I'm looking at Shane Heron's Morris number one. Like, that's an example of an independent guy trying to get something published, needing some money to do it because the startup costs are pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a full-time job, family, whatever. You know, he can't devote $10,000, $15,000 to print a comic book, right?
Yeah.
So he goes with the Kickstarter process and you know, here's the comic book and stuff, and it's great. Like, Kickstarter's got its place, but I don't know. I mean, some of these Kickstarters you see, like, $100,000 for a comic book, $150,000 these guys are raising. It's like, okay, so that means you've got enough startup capital to do your print run, and you have enough money left over to kickstart the next one without asking for another public handout, and you got a little bit more to do this, and, you know. But it's like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I just don't want to pay shipping anymore. Like, there's a Kickstarter for a book out there. Great book. I really wish I could support it. I really want to, but I just can't justify $17 after shipping for one comic book.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if there was some sort of a personal connection between me and this creator and stuff, and he was a friend and I wanted to support a friend and stuff like this, sure, that's great. You know, that's a little bit different, but, you know, Kickstarters were a touchy subject for me. I can't do it anymore. I just can't. You know, if a friend of mine's having a Kickstarter, I'll see what I can do. But other than that, I just can't pay $17 for a comic.
Yeah.
Not when you can turn around at the comic convention and buy it for $5 or $10 at TCAP or something, right directly from the creator.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you can make arrangements, like we've done with Andrew and stuff in the past, you know, meeting him at Fan Expo or one of us is going to Gotham and picking up some stuff and, you know, you're saving on shipping.
Yeah, yeah.
That helps.
And I dig rewards and all that sort of stuff, but I I had wall space, and it's all full. I am about to have a hell of a lot less wall space, so I don't even know where I'm going to put my existing prints and arts and stuff. So the last thing I need is another pinup or poster or you know, art page or stuff like this. It's just going to accumulate in a filing cabinet. So I'm not interested in too many rewards anymore. You know, getting drawn into a comic book is fun, but that's about it.
Yeah. Did you see Comic Book Addiction's post this afternoon?
No.
About Amazing Spider-Man 800 coming out on Wednesday.
Okay.
Right? So
came out this Wednesday?
No,
or coming out?
Wednesday.
Okay.
So they have the regular cover, and it's like, I don't know, $10 or so, $15 or some weird amount, but they're selling it for $8.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which just kind of reminds me of the Marvel. Remember how they ended up with those stacks and stacks of Marvel Legacy?
Yeah, because Steve's a smart. He's a, like, as far as businesses go, he's a smart business guy.
Well, so, it's for the variants.
Yeah, he knows that if he buys a crud ton of the regular issue. Yeah. He can get one of the fancy variants, and he can get one of his collector's customers to pay extra for that special cover. So he can sell, like, if it's 100 issues to get this one comic book,
yeah,
and he can get X number of dollars for that variant, he can discount those 100 issues a little bit and still make his money back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and at a lower price, they go out the door faster. Not like, remember that Amazing Spider-Man number one? I can't even remember which volume it was.
Oh, yeah.
Where there was copies and copies and copies.
That was
and
like
copies.
The first real new Amazing Spider-Man number one, right?
Yeah. And it was like, it was the blue cover with, what is his name? I'm trying to remember who drew it.
Was it Ramos? No.
It was either Ramos or what's his name? Werdingo?
I think it was Ramos.
Ringo?
Because he was doing like every other issue or something,
yeah,
eventually.
I mean, we saw copies of that 7, 8, 9 months later.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of them.
Walk into Big B in Hamilton and there's like, I don't know, there had to be at least 100 on the front shelf, right? Just
oh
in
my gosh.
Racks. And then we go to the Hamilton Comic Con and they're everywhere.
So, I mean, that's a smart move on Steve's part, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you can get this book for $2 less than at any other store.
I think it's more than $2. Like,
yeah, I think it was like $5 less.
There you go.
Like, it's $12.99 or something like that.
Yeah, not for $8, did you say?
Yeah.
So that's a smart move.
Yeah.
Smart move from Steve. And like I said, I've always admired Steve at CBA for his loyalty to his fans and his business acumen. I mean, it's just smart comic book vendoring from him.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't know, I'm not getting the issue. Are you getting it?
Yeah, I mean,
are you buying Amazing Spider-Man, or are you just buying it because it's fancy?
No, I'm not collecting Amazing, but I have the last few issues.
Oh, okay.
And it's a big, I mean, I'm not buying it because I think it's going to go like 300 did. I'm buying it because, you know, it's history. It's I don't know, it's
but
cool.
Is it?
Well,
is it?
It kind of is.
Is it only going to be one?
But is it 800 issues, or did they count like the point issues, and did they miscount, or is their math wrong? And
but it will soon. I was just going to take my chances here in town.
Yeah, yeah.
On Wednesday or whenever. I didn't know when it was coming out because I don't read previews. But I was just going to take my chances, and then I saw CBA, so I was hey, throw a copy in my.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they will or not.
I might stop at CBA on my way. I'm going to Hamilton this weekend, so I might stop in Sunday just to say hi and stuff. I don't think there's anything in my box, or at least there shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to stop in and say hi and see what's there. But yeah, I'm pretty much like I'm buying a fraction of the books that I used to buy, and I'm just getting them from Grey Guardian downtown. So I think I went in there and bought, I think it was like 3 comic books last week. 4 this week. So, yeah, I really cut down on my pile.
Yeah. I just read the last 2 issues that I have of Batman.
Yeah.
The Gift, Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
With Booster Gold. Have you read that?
Skimmed it.
I was laughing.
Yeah. That's why Booster Gold's all old and with the big beard and stuff.
Well, that's the second issue.
That's the second issue.
Yeah, yeah. Because poor, what's his name, Skeet, the robot?
Skeet.
Has a little malfunction. But
yeah, so I think I need to reread those two issues because I just skimmed them.
The insults they're throwing back, Skeet and Booster Gold. Skeet's like, you're the kite man of the Justice League. I just started laughing. But I mean, you'll figure this out very quickly. It's a different universe or a different timeline or that he's screwed up. I mean, Booster Gold's always screwed stuff up, right? Because he time travels. But I thought it was good. Good laughs. It wasn't what I expected.
Yeah.
I thought it was him actually with our, Bruce and Selena, but it is definitely not. So it was worth a few good laughs. So, yeah.
But I'm trying to remember who. Somebody posted on our Facebook page that they wanted to come on the show because they hadn't read any comic books in 3 weeks either. I think it was Andrew Daw. I could be mistaken, but yeah. I thought that was kind of funny. I'm like, yeah, I know. We do this show about comic books, and nobody's read anything.
Yeah.
I brought in 3 books to talk about, and two of them I haven't read yet, so I don't know how well that's going
to
work.
Well, we used to cover the news. Maybe we should start doing that again.
Exactly.
Is there any news?
Oh, there's tons of news.
Is there?
Well, there's always news.
Go ahead with the news then.
No, I'm not prepared.
Okay. Well,
I could, and then it'll get all.
I'll start
political
with
and.
I'll start with Alien Toilet Monsters. I picked that up on Wednesday.
I thought you already had that.
I do-ish and I don't-ish. Oh. So, Alien Toilet Monsters. Those of you that don't know, it's a freaking awesome comic book. You got to get this. Carol Zara and Eric Barnett. They are the writers, artists, and creators of this comic book. It is such a multi-layered story. It is not what you think. It's sci-fi, multiple universes. Really, you got to read the comic 2 or 3 times to get it. But once you do, it's like, wow, this is quite the universe that they're creating. And they self-published it, and they were selling it at fan expos and stuff like this. Well, they got distributed by Diamond. So this is issue number 1, got distributed by Diamond. It's first print copies. They didn't do a second print run or anything like that. This is, the UPC code and everything says September 2017, yeah. Even though it came out, I think, 2 weeks ago.
So they have copies.
So they had copies, and they distributed it through Diamond, and now they're all sold out. And issue 2 is coming out shortly, too. I can't remember exactly what month. I think July?
I have no idea.
Maybe June. But, not too late to ask your comic shop to back order some. So go get issue number 2. But it's just...
Where'd you get that?
Grey Guardian.
Nice.
Yeah, I said, did you get any copies of Alien Toy Monster number 1? Because I know I pre-ordered number 2 since I already have a couple of copies. And he goes, yeah, I do. And, excuse me, turns out I don't have a copy of the regular cover.
Oh, okay.
So I got the regular cover. But yeah, he might have some more. So it's just a fantastic, weird book. It's about these multiple universes. And they've actually developed the machinery to travel between universes. So there's 3 or 4 subplots in the book, and one of them is this guy gets visited by his wife died, and the wife from another dimension comes and visits him to console him every once in a while.
Right.
Right? And so that's going on, and then there's another subplot where in another dimension there's this, the creatures, if they consume another creature, they absorb their DNA and they morph. And, of course, that's where the fun begins, is there's this accident and somebody travels between dimensions incorrectly, and I'm sure there's going to be chaos and aliens and toilet monsters and stuff like this. But fun comic, excellent comic. You got to grab Alien Toilet Monsters.
Speaking of alternate dimensions, I read issue 3 of Oblivion Song.
Oh, I haven't read that one yet.
Yeah.
So I read 2, but I haven't read 3.
It's got me curious enough to keep reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, the demon one, I can't even remember.
Outcast,
thank you. It lost me. Same with, you would recommended another comic book weeks ago.
Gideon Falls?
Yeah. And I'm reading it, and I'm going, this is Preacher.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so close to Preacher. Okay. I mean, it's a different, it's, it has enough differences, but really, I don't know.
That was one of the books that that didn't survive my cull.
Yeah.
And when I cut down a whole bunch of books, I ended up cutting it out because at that time only one issue had come out. So I kind of stuck with other books I was a little bit more invested in.
Right.
And, I'm going to get in trouble for this. A young lady I follow on Instagram who does comic reviews. Darn it. I'm going to have to look it up. Otherwise, that's not fair. I'm not giving her a plug. But she's like, hey, you know, the issues are still going strong. It's a good book. So she recommended I pick it up as a trade paperback when it comes out, that it's worth a read.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I might have to pick that up.
I did read some comics today.
Uh-oh.
And yesterday. This week, I read some comics.
There you go.
This is not the place for that.
No, it's
at least one of us did.
But oddly enough, you know, thanks to that comment on our site, the one thing I did finally read was that 5-part Star Wars Screaming Citadel series, which, mm-hmm. I don't know, was that 2016 or was that actually last year? But I don't know why I picked it up. I just didn't read it. I don't know why. But I finally read it, and uh-huh. I liked it. I mean, it's kind of late. Maybe it's not late. I don't know, but I thought it was a good story. It was fun. Yeah. It was funny, but it was also action.
Which book is this again?
The 5-part crossover of Star Wars.
Oh.
The Screaming Citadel.
Oh, okay.
It was Star Wars.
Yeah, I got all mad because it was a crossover. I'm like, I'm not reading them all.
I was going to ask you about Flash War, but we can get into that
later. I'm not going to read all these.
But I like the Dr. Aphra.
Yeah,
She's cool. I love her droids. Like, they are like the evil C-3PO and R2-D2. Like, not even evil, sadistic.
Yeah.
Like, they're just downright the complete opposite.
They've had their emotional dampeners cranked down.
It's good. I'll probably look up some more information with Dr. Aphra just to get, you know, this takes place obviously between Star Wars and Jedi.
I think so. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like she's gonna pop up and well, I can't say that. You never know.
You never know.
She might. Maybe she's in Solo. That's out today. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I gotta go see that.
Yeah, we gotta go see that.
Speaking of movies, you know how I never go see any movies.
Yes.
I actually got dragged out and saw
Infinity War.
Did you get dragged out or drugged out?
Oh my.
Dragged.
Because is it burnt or burned?
Oh, just stop.
Drugged out? Dragged out? Like it.
Anyways, Dan, what did you think of the movies?
And I watched Infinity War.
There you go.
And I thought it was good.
It was fun.
It went by really fast. Like, I didn't at any point be like, ugh. Because just switching between so many characters,
and it
there's
started,
never a dull moment.
It started right after the opening credits. Like, bang.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hadn't seen the previous three Marvel movies. So, but I didn't feel like I lost much.
The only one I would say would be Black Panther. Because I'm glad I finally watched that like 2 weeks before Infinity War, because I loved it. I thought Black Panther was great.
Black Panther was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok.
It had its moments and it was funny in spots and stuff, but it wasn't fantastic.
It was not fantastic. You've got two of the strongest characters, and you make it into a buddy comedy? I don't know.
I call that the Guardians of the Galaxy effect. The Guardians of the Galaxy rubbed off on them a little bit.
Yeah, but Guardians of the Galaxy is where I guess you want the humor. But did we ever find out how or why Hulk was there? Like, was that ever touched upon?
No.
Like, we know why he was there.
Oh, no. Wasn't he on one of those Zephyrs and it went off and through a time hole or something like this?
I don't know. I'd have to go back. I honestly don't remember. I know how he got there in the comics.
You remember he was sitting in the Zephyr and it was flying away and Black Canary. What's her name? Black Widow was like, "Oh, Bruce, come back. Hulky, where are you?" In one of the Avengers. She was trying to talk him down and it didn't work.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Must have fell asleep. Obviously, it was before Civil War, because... Ragnarok pretty much explains why Thor and Hulk weren't in Civil War.
Yeah, I can't remember which of the two.
So,
do you guys? I saw a comment somewhere that Infinity War should just be Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
No.
No, I think there was a lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
But they were definitely a major focus.
Yeah, they were definitely part of it. But I think that was part of trying to bring that franchise into the rest of the Marvel franchise, you know, like merge it all together. And...
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm just going to say it's been long enough that if you haven't seen the movie already, you're tough luck.
Yeah,
and
too bad.
Off.
Spoilers. Yeah.
But,
up.
Like, when the movie ends with basically only the five main Avengers left.
Yeah.
Next movie's going to be an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
This was not an Avengers movie. This was just an ensemble cast movie.
It's Thanos,
the entire...
right? And he's like this global galactic threat, so you got to have everybody involved.
Yeah.
And anybody who's whining...
But they still didn't do anything.
And anybody who's whining about everybody dying...
Are you an idiot?
Read a comic book. You know what's going to happen in Avengers 4? Somebody's going to put the gauntlet on after beating Thanos, and he's going to snap his fingers and bring everybody back. Like, relax.
So you're telling me that you honestly believe that Spider-Man, who they don't even own the rights outright to, has been killed off.
Exactly.
Sony's like, yeah, kill him off. I know he's only got one movie done with us, but, you know, it's okay. Kill him off.
Exactly.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
You know, all the characters that they quote-unquote kill are characters that haven't done much yet in the Marvel Universe, and their story is only beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. Anybody who doesn't have three movies under their belt, they're safe. They're coming back.
You know,
give me
who
a break.
The ones that I'm worried about are the ones that, like, the five that are left.
Well, the guys that actually died before Thanos snapped his fingers. So Loki.
Yes.
There's been three Thor movies.
Loki never dies.
I could see him not coming back. Honestly, I can see Tom Hiddleston being done with it and the comic not coming back. Gamora dying when Thanos, like, again, spoilers, shut up.
But,
when he threw her off the cliff, right?
Yeah.
But I think that she'll be back.
I don't know. I really am not sure. Unless Thanos, like, freaks out about killing her and he snaps his fingers and brings her back. I don't know.
Here's what I heard in a discussion. Somebody said at the end of the movie when they show Thanos talking to young Gamora, like, that the background is the amber color of the Soul Stone. And so they're like, I think that's her soul still alive in the stone.
In the Soul Stone.
So that they can just bring her back.
Oh, wow.
And Vision.
I could see that.
Vision dies, but he's a robot.
Yeah.
So you know what's going to happen? They'll just build another stupid robot and then pull the stone off the gauntlet and give it back to him.
As an information technology professional, let me tell you, back up, back up, back up.
Yeah.
Make duplicates. Back up. Don't tell me that there's not a backup.
If Tony Stark can have 752 battle armors...
Exactly.
There's only one Vision.
Trust me, I can sell you a backup package that does live snapshots of Vision daily and uploads it differentially so you don't have to kill your bandwidth speeds, and you'll have multiple copies of multiple versions of Vision on the cloud ready for the next robot body, like Dan says. Give me a break.
Yeah, they just need the stone.
To me, I don't know.
Do they?
I think it's kind of...
I don't know. Maybe.
Because they were talking about removing the stone.
That they didn't even need it, but maybe they needed to kickstart his life again or something.
For me, it all revolves around Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Who, over my dead body, will I give you this stone?
And
you
then
will never take it.
Gives it.
But then he does his little trance thing, and he sees 14 million possibilities with only one outcome where they win.
Iron Man plays a pivotal role, so he knew he couldn't let Iron Man die.
Or the one where they won, Strange knew that by giving him the stone, somehow that will lead to them winning.
I just feel like in that future thing when he was looking, he saw that Tony Stark is pivotal to winning, and that's why he, like you said, forget it, no way,
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's like, okay, here you go.
Which is kind of
to save Tony.
Kind of what I'm saying, right? Maybe in the one scenario that he saw, he has to give Thanos a stone so Tony survives.
I think that
it's got to be, because you can't just say, I'm never giving you the okay here.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll wager money right now that Tony Stark dies in the next movie.
Yeah, again, you
because,
know,
because like it's he's been around for long. He's been around the longest out of any of them.
Yeah, and money is money. Like, you know, the Marvel Studios doesn't pay tons and tons of cash, and he's negotiated the biggest contracts out of anybody else that's in the Marvel Studios stable. Excuse me, of actors. And yeah, I can see him saying, "Okay, you know what? That's enough. I've had enough."
I mean, there's been at various points where I think all of the actors, like for Thor, for Captain America, and Iron Man, all those guys have said, like, well, I don't know how long I want to play this character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But if, you know, going with what Chris said, though, if they're going to kill a character off, it's why not make it Iron Man? The reason why he had to save Iron Man is because Iron Man has to die later.
Actually dies.
Iron Man, yes, will die later.
Iron Man sacrifice that saves the universe.
And so then you have Tony Stark sort of getting sent off on this high note of, like, he was a hero and blah, blah, blah. And especially since, you know, he marries Pepper Potts or whatever, and like they're talking about the wedding and stuff, and you're like, that's so typical
foreshadowing
of like, here comes the darkness.
It's called foreshadowing.
It's like The Walking Dead when I'm watching it with Christine. It's like, oh man, they're spending too much time on this one. Kabang! Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's why they spent so much time on them.
Why are they telling me about what happened to them when they were a kid? Oh no, they're dead. Yeah, great.
Exactly.
Oh, man. You know, it's kind of bad to say. I know it's very bad to say, but when I went home and I tried to explain the movie to Christine, Thanos, he actually has, in a way, the right idea.
Well,
overpopulation,
yeah,
no
but
food
the
to
way
go.
He's going to do
the
it.
The way he does it is kind of.
But the way he does it in the movie, I'm not condoning genocide by any means, but in the movie, the way he does it, he also says it's the most humane. Snapping his fingers and these people just drift off into never.
And the other thing is, like he said in the movie, he's doing it totally randomly.
Yes.
You know, the rich and the poor.
There's no prejudice involved. This is literally a 50% of the population is gone.
Because he said,
one heartbeat to the next.
He said to Gamora, look at your home planet.
Yeah.
It's now thriving.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Whereas his home planet, the whole reason he did this is because they wouldn't listen to him. And he's like, you're insane killing half of their air, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so now, I haven't read the Infinity
Neither have I.
War. Have you, Chris?
It's been a long time.
Darn, because I was going to be like, is this even similar to that at all?
From what, well, actually, Jordan reminded me of this, but apparently Infinity War ended with Thanos sitting in a little cabin smiling, which was basically what the movie was, right? He was in that little hut, and he sat down, and he smiled. So I'd honestly have to go back and read it again.
He was in the hut, or I thought he was in
whatever
Wakanda.
He was. Was he? Was it, I don't know. I thought it was like a random.
You know, the ape tribe, the ones that are a little off to the side?
Maybe.
I thought that was that throne room.
Oh, could be. Hmm. I might have been. Couldn't see through the tears because everyone died.
Tears?
No.
Oh, my God.
But I have heard that.
You want something to cry about?
I'll give you something to cry about. The Captain Marvel movie takes place in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a young Coulson and a young Fury.
It's going to be more setting up the Captain Marvel mythos, because the idea here is from a marketing point of view, the Captain Marvel movies will be replacing the Captain America movies as a centerpiece.
Hmm.
So there'll be three Captain Marvel movies sort of setting it all up. So
the first one would be her origin.
I'm assuming the first one's her origin,
and
little
then
backstory.
She'll pop into Avengers
she'll pop
4.
Into Avengers 4 and then continue on with her own.
Yeah, because we all know.
Pop into Avengers 4 or be a major.
Oh, yeah, be a pop.
Well,
a
that's
major,
what I mean. Her next appearance, yeah. Because for those who don't know, I mean, at the end, in the end credit before Fury disappeared, he was basically texting Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And that was her logo that popped up after he disappeared.
And that's the key to the Avengers movies, right? Is that we can make this big, huge popcorn action right away because we get rid of all the character development, we get rid of all the motivation for the characters and establishing the characters in their own individual movies.
Mm-hmm.
So if Captain Marvel movie comes out as an origin story, here you go. They can hit the ground running in Avengers 4, and you don't need to know anything about this young lady because you've already seen it in her own movie.
Which is the huge difference, I mean, let's face it, between Marvel and DC, right? I love the Justice League.
That's just because DC hasn't gotten their act together.
Yeah. But the Justice League, I mean, obviously we had Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, but everyone else had to have their own origins told basically in that movie, right? So.
It's just
and
weird.
Now they're releasing a Flash movie. Like,
it's just weird that they couldn't look at the Marvel way and just be like, yeah, let's just do that, but our comics. Because it's not like Marvel owns the rights to how you put out movies.
No. But the problem is, and I'll just get to this real quick because we're running out of time. The big difference is that Marvel is being run by Kevin Feige, who's a comic book guy and freaking gets it.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers, these are the same guys. When Kevin Smith wrote a Superman movie, he goes, look, there's an editor at DC Comics called Mike Carlin. He has been writing Superman and editing Superman books for longer than I've been alive. He knows, you know, he has forgotten more about Superman. Why don't you get him to write the Superman movie? And the Warner Brothers movie guys go, oh, well, that's a comic book writer. He's not a movie writer. He can't write a movie. And Kevin Feige's like the complete opposite. He's like, let's get, you know, a director who digs the source material. Let's get writers who dig the source material. Let's get actors who dig the source material. Let's, you know, modify it slightly so that it works. But let's make a comic book movie, not make a Superman the movie from 1977 blockbuster. You know, and that's what Warner Brothers is stuck on. Yeah. They're not making comic book movies. They're trying to make these movies with comic book characters in it.
Yeah.
Anyways, I also want to backpedal a little bit because that young lady I was talking to, Dana Burnett from splashandspeechbubbles.wordpress.com, because she turned me on to the Gideon Falls, and I wanted to give her a plug.
So maybe we could end on a typical, man, Chris really focuses on the dumbest things.
All right, Chris, what are you focusing on now?
Did you read the Action Comic special? Not the 1000.
No, I didn't buy the special.
The other special that came out around the same time.
I did not. Because they came out with a Superman special number one and an Action Comics special number one.
Did they?
Yeah. I didn't pick up either of them.
It's the Action Comics one.
Okay.
All right. So, somebody we don't know who.
Bendis.
I was reading some reviews of the last Iron Man issue, and I'll tell you, people are not happy with Bendis. Anyways.
Just remember, Bendis had an editor, and the editor said yes.
Yeah.
So.
So somebody we don't know who is at the Fortress of Solitude. He's broken in. He's using some technology to look to see who Superman is.
Right.
Right. So he sees Lois and he sees Jonathan and he goes, oh, I should have known. Well, I wonder what Superman's doing right now. Probably off saving the world. And they show Superman. He's bringing pizza home for the family.
Right.
He's holding. Okay. So Superman is flying with a pizza he's holding vertically.
Right.
So you can see it's a pizza box.
And then he shows up at the window with Jonathan, still holding the pizza box vertically. Who holds a pizza box with a fresh pizza in it vertically?
Well,
if you turn it slightly,
you're still going to know it's a pizza box.
Yeah, but if you're
you don't have to be like Wayne's World and go, Pizza Hut. Yeah, but
if you're flying, you have to push the box with your hand because if you hold it this way, it'll just slide off your hand.
It depends how fast he's flying, but it just did not look right.
Well, you're telling me that Superman can't hold a pizza box with one hand while he's flying?
But not like this.
He goes, why not?
If he holds it like this, it's going to fly.
No, he doesn't. He can hold it like this. Hold it at the edge of the box.
But he's got to hold the pizza on the edge. Yeah. And he got double cheese for Jonathan. So all that cheese is now down at the bottom of the box.
Maybe he was using the friction of flying to keep the pizza warm. It's like the solar rays are hitting the pizza box and causing friction to warm up that pizza.
All I know is that you can bank a plane pretty steep and not spill any of the water that's in the glasses because of centripetal force and stuff when you're banking and stuff and gravity pushing it down and stuff.
No person, superhero, alien, or otherwise, can hold a pizza sideways and not have the whole freaking thing slide down to the bottom of the box.
He's Superman.
No.
That's unbelievable.
You see, you read a story, and that's the one thing that... He's holding the pizza box wrong.
And on that note, that's all the time that we've got for tonight. Thanks for joining us today. You can always check us out on iTunes and Google Play for our previous episodes, and tune in next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?